Any further discussion? All those in favor of the mod signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Raise your hand, please. All those opposed, raise their hand. Six. All right. It's 2-6. So it dies. Excuse me? It's flipped. It needed to be the other way in order for it to pass. It did not. 2248. Ann? This implements a deck statement?
Correct. This TAC acted, I forgot when, to basically determine that the equipment sizing be done by the specific orientation of the house. This mod would codify that.
Anybody speaking in favor or against? All right, to the TAC. It's been seconded by Richard. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Opposed? 2247, Ann? This is also a deck statement.
This one, the TAC was asked, you know, what is a replacement? And if someone has an older air handler and a newer compressor, do they have to meet the SEER 13? And the answer was, no, they don't. They have to replace it to its original listing.
Anybody speaking for this or against it from the public? To the TAC.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. 2364, Mr. Parker.
Mr. Parker's not present, but I am from the same institute that he is. And it appears that he is asking to change the name of a current credit in the code. But more importantly, I think he is requesting that the roof materials themselves must have tested solar reflectances when they're tested in accordance with an ASTM standard. But some of this has to do with the fact that he's changing it from white to cool roofs. Much of this, he has a formula in here for how you would recalculate the winter and summer cooling and heating point multipliers. And again, if 2367 is adopted, virtually all of this becomes moot, because there would be no heating and cooling summer and winter point multipliers, and the code compliance software would do the analysis automatically based on what the tested properties of the roof materials were.
Any other proponents? Lorraine.
Lorraine Ross, representing ARMA, the Asphalt Roofing Manufacturers Association, and we do support this change. Before, it was a white roof, and it was kind of limiting, of course, and now there are colors out there for shingles and other types of products that visually look brown but, in fact, are reflective under these tests. The only comment that I have is, I think we'll put this in later after the thing is posted, but there are some, there are different ASTM tests, and there's been some discontinuation of some. So that's one thing that I think needs to be checked here. But I would urge you to approve it.
Is this an ASTM that is in our standard reference?
I believe it's already in there. Is it?
I believe E903 is in there, written it, Ann.
Yeah, but again, I think maybe ASTM Maybe I could check that online now, but...
There, Mr. Chairman, there probably are some additional standards that are that have been added to our standard in this round right here.
Right.
For basically what amount to large area reflectivity measurements and stuff like that, which also would be applicable to this. I'm in favor of the change. It's just that certain elements of the change would not be applicable if 2367 is passed by the commission. The heating and cooling credit point multipliers and all that stuff would just become moot.
And
it may be in John Humble's mod.
You know, I just thought of that too. Yeah, Jonathan.
Same
Humble,
subject.
Right. Exactly.
I think
Humble
I did see it in here, which we approved.
Yes.
Which you approved. Okay. Great. Good to go.
Do we want to withdraw 2364? Are you speaking for the proponent?
No.
Okay.
We don't necessarily want to withdraw it, but we do want to clarify the fact that because 2367 was passed, the heating and cooling credit point multipliers and the equations which calculate those become moot.
But we want to change the name.
And we want to change the name, and we want to require that products be tested by these various standards.
Is that a modification to the mod?
I think if we pass it the way it is, if we don't need to multiply it, move it. It doesn't go in.
That's
made all the other changes.
That's what I think. All right. Any further? Richard.
Should we decide that AFCM 903 has been referenced or not?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Referenced in the code.
I'll go check.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Twenty-six, eighteen. Jeff Householder. Is the revision actually the one you want to use?
I don't think it makes any difference, but sure. They should be identical. And probably moot. Given 2367.
Okay, we'll take them together. All right.
And I guess I just want to make sure that I believe what I'm here asking you to do is deny this modification, which would preserve our rights in case 2367 fails. Is that what I've heard you do before? Okay. Whatever.
Any other proponent? Anybody speaking against it? All right. If we bring it to the TAC, is there a second? There is a second.
Okay.
That
Thank
solves
you.
Your problem.
Thank you.
Is there any discussion in the TAC?
Make sure that Jonathan's numbers are down.
All right. Those in favor of the mod, raise your hand. Those opposed, same sign. Thank you. So that was 08.
What was the previous
mod?
I was
08.
08.
Thank you. 08,
right.
It was approved, 8-0.
Approved, 8-0.
Yeah, 8-0. 2650. Mr. Bailey.
There's a provision in the code that's been there apparently for a while that basically no ventilating or air conditioning system make up air from roofs. And in a lot of residential situations, if you don't have some closet or something on the outside, you can't go out horizontally. And some of the horizontal exits from houses became problems during the hurricane, and what I'm proposing is to put back in there allowing ventilation to be taken up off the roof.
Any other proponents? Anybody in opposition to the TAC? Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. Discussion? All right, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Seven.
We're at
one,
seven.
Two, three, four, five, seven. We're at seven right now.
7-0.
We're getting close.
As submitted, we're still good.
How close?
21-47. Mr. Quintella.
Good afternoon. Pete Quintella, Building Code Compliance. This code requirement is a credit on the energy code. And at the present time, it's only approved to be performed by a certified energy rater or a recognized test and balance agent. I am proposing to allow mechanical contractors also be included so we can get a broader coverage of this credit, because I think it is a good credit, and I think it's not being taken advantage of, and I think it's an excellent thing to do when the house is being built to be able to do this. As I mentioned earlier, under another section on the code, on the energy code in Chapter 4, licensed mechanical contractors are allowed to do their test and balance. This is part of their testing when they become contractors. So I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be able to do it. As it is right now, the way the system is working out, it basically creates a monopoly for energy raters that are certified by the Solar Energy Center. And my main concern also is the fact that the building official like yourself wouldn't have any authority over these individuals should you have to file charges of discipline them, because they're not certified under 468. They're not under 489.
You can't put them in front of the board.
No.
Any other proponents for this? Arlene?
I think it's really important that we make this credit more widely available. There are approximately 150 of us currently that are accredited to do this test. 150 of us over 200,000 housing starts is spread pretty thin. However, I do have a friendly amendment that indicates that the mechanical contractor who installed the system does not get to also test and verify it at the same time. I have verified this credit on numerous occasions, and I can't tell you how many times my testing methods and my ability to perform this test is called into question because no HVAC contractor thinks that they could possibly build a system with that many holes. And I think that if you allow mechanical contractors to test their own equipment, their own installations, we're going to see a lot of people fudging numbers because they simply don't believe that they are going to get the numbers that they actually get in the test. So I believe that having mechanical contractors available to do this test is a good thing as long as it is not on their own system.
Pete, do you have any comment about that friendly amendment? Friendly or unfriendly, I'm not sure.
I also was at one time one of those 150 certified raters. The whole problem being, again, you have to go to Ocala, work with Ocala, and only in Ocala. I'm trying to make this useful throughout the whole state of Florida. I don't agree with the concept that you can only, that you would have to require an outside contractor, because that's going to make it cross-prohibited. It's going to be the same concept as now. You got to hire an outside contractor. This individual is a licensed contractor. He's going to sign for this test. So just like we dealt with earlier today, where the certified professional can sign for energy calculations, electrical, mechanical, this is no
different.
Okay,
we're very close to getting to the end. We might be able to finish this. So does that mean you're not in favor of the amendment?
No.
Thank you. Rebuttal, Arlene?
I'm going to be nice and not say it again, so thank you.
You're a nice person.
Because we don't want to get out of here.
You're a nice person. To the tack. Is there a second? There's a second. Richard's a second. Is there any discussion? Richard.
I think Arlene's point, said otherwise, is that it is difficult enough to achieve that there's an inclination or a temptation to fudge the numbers. That's what she's trying to prevent.
Philip.
I'm philosophically opposed to self-certification, and this is a form of self-certification, unless Arlene's amendment is adopted.
Hey, me agree too. This is a better day.
Any other discussion? Steve.
I move that we modify it to state that the contractors cannot test their own systems.
I'll second it.
There's a second. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? One opposed. Show one opposed. Out of eight. This is on the mod, on the modification.
To the mod.
To the mod.
Okay, so it was 1-8.
It was 8-1. No, it was 7-1. 7-1. Excuse me. It's getting late. 7-1. Okay. All right. Now back to the mod. Any other discussion on the mod? All those in favor of the mod signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. Mr. Parker for 2362. Philip, are you going to speak for him?
Yes, I will try.
Okay, try to make it. Give us the short version.
The short version is that this is a proposal to change the baseline home animal location to the conditioned space. That will mean that the code requirement stringency will be increased by approximately 8%.
Other proponents? Anybody in opposition?
I'm a proponent.
You're a proponent.
That's why I'm here. Garrett Stone, BBRS. Just wanted to echo. I mean, it seems to me that that if you go through a code change cycle once every 3 years to revise the code, it's important to look back on each code change cycle and see if you've made significant improvements in the code vis-a-vis the last code. And it seems to me that one of the interesting and concerning issues here, we have this issue and two or three other baseline issues coming up. And I would just argue that it's real important in these times of very high energy costs and very high energy consumption that we do something about tightening down the efficiency of houses. And since the committee made the decision to stick with the Florida code, great. There's a great opportunity now to tighten up a few of the baseline conditions. This is one of them. Thank you.
Very good. Other proponents, Jack? Anybody in opposition?
You put my comment up, Ann.
Mr. Glenn.
Some time back, there was an effort made to prohibit air handlers placed in attics. At that time, the Florida Home Builders Association challenged the commission. We settled on an agreement to avoid a lawsuit.
That's great.
Part of that settlement agreement was that the baseline location for air handlers would be the garage, which would limit the penalty for putting a air handler in an attic. Right now it's about 8%. If you move it to conditioned space, that penalty will now be 16%. I believe it violates the agreement you had with us. I realize the code must evolve, but paraphrasing Mr. Bassett, the commission agreed. In good faith, I would ask you to retain the baseline where it is.
Rick, do you recall that?
I defer to Jim. If you can, I can pull it up in a second.
Would you please check on it, Jim? Thank you. Anybody else in opposition? Any rebuttal? All right, to the TAC.
You want to take the table, that's where you're getting an answer, then that's fine.
Let me get it to the TAC. I wanted to try to get a second for it.
Second. Now can
all right,
I comment?
I have a second for it. And
Elizabeth, it's a big one. I'm going to agree with Jack.
You keep this up, we might finish.
I would only be supportive if it did not change the overall energy efficiency of the house. And I just thought it was going to be move it into the house so that everything was in step with the same way it was before, not have one direction be an add, one direction be a negative. So if it changes the overall energy efficiency by 8%, I'd be against it.
Do we have a cardiac surgeon in the house?
Richard?
I'm
afraid that the cost figures are way out of whack and inaccurate. No space is free in a building, and no conditioned space especially is free. And if you assume the conditioned space is $50 a square foot, which is not a big number, that's a conservatively small number, and you say that the air handler closet is only 9 square feet, 3 feet by 3 feet, and with the return air duct is probably substantially larger than that, we're at $900 just floor space. Plus, we have to buy a door, we have to paint the door, and we have to buy a lock for the door. So we're at a very high cost figure, roughly $1,000, $1,025, to provide an air handler closet, and that's not at all what's represented. So the cost figures that the proponent has suggested are grossly in error. And that completely changes the benefit analysis.
Thank you.
I strongly recommend voting against the motion.
Jim?
I'm going to speak in favor of it from the standpoint of increasing stringency by 8%. I'd like to go home at the end of the day here and say that we actually bettered the performance for the state of Florida. If we listen to all the statements that Phil's made before about the strength of the performance path analysis, is that it will find the lowest cost denominator to create this stringency improvement, and it'll get done.
Richard.
Cost benefit is just simply not there. It'd be nice to feel good about it and make our houses more energy efficient, but if it's not cost effective, then it's not a prudent thing to do.
And
the numbers that are presented would indicate that I think I'm right.
Jim. Phil.
Mr. Chairman, there is a reference that Mr. Parker makes in his proposal to a builder in Gainesville who has recently found a way to reduce the cost of locating air handlers in the conditioned space. This is kind of an interesting concept, because what this particular builder did was he actually put the air handler in the garage, and he built the conditioned space walls out and around that air handler. So it is still sitting on what the builder might call garage floor space, but it's actually in the conditioned space of the home. And it's kind of an innovative way to do this, but the costs are probably not prohibitive in light of the fact that over the life of that air handler, you're going to probably save close to $1,000 in energy.
Richard?
No space in a house is free. That garage space could have been used for another purpose, and most likely would, especially in a Florida house. It doesn't have
Richard, you didn't hear what I said.
I did hear.
He took the space the air handler was sitting on in the garage and just jutted the house walls out and caused that space to be inside the house. So it wasn't free space. It was the space the air handler was already using.
All right. We still need something from legal. Jim, are you close? We might have to finish these out in the hallway.
Oh.
Somebody's got to get the recorder out there. That hurt?
That hurt bad. Didn't scream anything my mother would turn red about, though.
Are we violating the thing or not? Let's move.
Shins as fast as I can.
Settlement statement addressed this provision in 2000, which explains the lack of recollection. Directed the commission to, at its October, November, or December 2000 meeting, undertake a reconsideration, clarification, and modifications to base codes as described below. The first one was the prohibition of air handlers in attics, and the commission was directed to, or agreed to, excuse me, repeal and replace that prohibition with the provision that air handlers in the attics shall be allowed if, one, the air handler multiplier in the energy code is 1.05, 5% penalty, and the commission directs that a study be conducted based upon computer modeling, which considers both conduction and leakage of the air handler located in the attic and agrees to adopt a new multiplier supported by the study. Service panel limitation, installation of an alarm device, attic access opening size, and notice to the homeowner.
So in your opinion, if we approve this mod, is it violating that agreement?
It's a gray area. I mean, the agreement by its very terms say that we had to consider and repeal the prohibition under certain conditions back at that time. I think an argument could be made that we did that and fulfilled our obligation under the settlement agreement. Likewise, an argument could be made that the settlement agreement contemplated an ongoing restriction of the commission's ability to amend it, and I think it would be left up to an ALJ if it came to that. Quick answer, maybe.
Let's pass it on. Find
Gee,
out.
That's comforting. Okay. Any further discussion at the TAC level?
Well, no.
Jan?
Is it possible that we approve it, provided that legal determines we're on legal grounds?
I have given you my best advice here today. The policy determination and what you do with it is your decision.
Thanks, he's thrown Jim. It in your lap.
Steve? Come on, guys.
22 minutes.
We got 22 minutes. We got 9 to go.
The and I use rough numbers of my own just for ease, but the air hand the 1.2 in the agreement was based on the air handler being in the attic, and there was a 0.2 credit if you put it in the house, and if we move it into the house as a baseline, and it's a 0.4 for if you. 1.4 if you put it in the attic, and if it's a 1.2 for in the garage, everything stays the same, and I wouldn't mind changing it. But I do feel it would violate what we did for the home builders back then with the air conditioner in the attic, and I think we should stick with it.
All right. All those in favor of this mod, raise your hand. All those, that's 3. All those opposed, raise your hand. Five. Wait a minute. Yeah. No, there's 8. There's 3 and 5. There's 8 here. So it's 3-5. Fails. All right. 2366. Short version, please.
The short version is
Danny
that.
Parker. The short version is what?
The short version is that insulation is very often not installed properly in buildings, and that there a methodology of grading the installation. Excuse all the whatever it's called, has been developed and incorporated into software, and it can be done, and there is a protocol for inspection, and this particular proposal is moving or proposing that that protocol be adopted into Florida standards and that it be incorporated into code compliance in Florida.
And we added insulation inspection?
Basically, yes. And if you don't get it inspected, you pay a penalty. And the standard is the manufacturer's recommendations.
Steve, wait a minute. Sorry. Any more proponents? a proponent.
Your proponent?
Garrett. Very briefly, Garrett Stone, BBRS. Another chance to tighten the code up a little bit. What this basically does is it sets the baseline at a less well-insulated house. Mm. It says you get a...
This is not like California. California does that. This sets the baseline at the manufacturer's recommended installation practice.
I misstated. You're correct.
It penalizes you if you don't meet that.
And I agree with you.
Those in opposition?
Arlene Stewart, representing myself. I respectfully oppose this particular proposal, not on its merits for installation. I believe that we do need greater information on how to install insulation. However, this particular proposal is wrong in all kinds of code ways. The instruction is in Appendix C. It is not in the inspection section in the administration chapter. It is not in the administration chapter of the overall building code. And what is more disappointing is that I contacted the proponent to say, you know, what's going on? You've got it in the wrong section. And quite frankly, I was disappointed to say, as much as I respect Mr. Parker, he didn't care enough to submit us a comment to move it to the right section. So I tend to believe that there are all kinds of unintended consequences in this particular language, and it should come back in the correct place, done well, and cross-referenced.
Anybody speaking from the public? All right, to the TAC. Is there a second? There's a second for discussion. Steve.
Yes, sir. I consider this is just like trying to close the barn door after the horse is out. I design a house that just barely passes the calculation. And then after it gets built, someone inspects it and says, it didn't pass. And it's too late to change the calculation because you already built the house. This is really an inspection problem that the inspectors need to see that the installation is installed correctly. And if it's not, then the contractor should install it correctly. It's not something that should go in the energy code that changes the calculation after the house is built.
Further discussion? Richard.
It's completely in the wrong section of the code, like Arlene says. Inspection should be in Chapter 1 of the Building Code, Section 109.3. That's where it belongs. When all the other inspections are, it's just confusing to have it elsewhere. It's inappropriate.
I agree with that. All right, any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please raise their hand. All those opposed, please raise your hand. We have a tie vote, which is... It fails. 4-4. Mr. Stone, 2616, please.
Yes.
Short version.
Short version, 2616 is designed to basically accomplish what the IECC already does, which basically, if you have less than 18% windows in your actual house, you put the same amount of windows in your base, same percentage of windows in your baseline. So in other words, you don't get credit for putting less windows in. In our view, what you end up doing as a result of that, you create a significant amount of trade-off room that, in essence, you can put less efficient windows and less efficient house around it, because you put less windows in. I don't think that's the right thing to do, so that's what the theory is.
Any other proponents? Anybody speaking against it? To the TAC. Is there a second for this motion?
Second.
There's a second. Is there discussion? Philip.
Mr. Chairman, I'm opposed to this motion. I think that windows are, by and large, an amenity, and that if someone chooses to use less of them, they should get credit for it. And in addition to that, if you go and look at housing stock, the large glass percentage homes are usually the larger upscale homes, and then the smaller, low-cost homes use a much smaller percentage of glazing, and I think they should get credit for that. In other words, an energy budget is an energy budget.
I also agree with that.
Further discussion, Steve? Thank you. Any other discussion, and have you considered the comments? All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye. Aye. Oh, wait a minute.
All right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 1 to 7. Fails. 2363, Mr. Parker's representative.
This is a pretty simple proposal. It changes the baseline duct insulation from R6 to R8. That will have a very modest impact on code compliance. It will make the code just a teeny bit more stringent.
Speaking in favor.
Charles Cottrell, representing the North American Insulation Manufacturers. Our members manufacture many products that meet the R8 requirements. There's been discussion about products not being available. Just want to say that products are available. Also, in this area, with the delta T that you experience from, you know, cold to inside the duct to outside in the attic, that this if the products are cost effective anywhere, it would be in a Florida attic. Thank
you. Speaking for it. No rebuttal yet. Speaking against it.
I have to speak against it simply because we've got two different conclusions from the same research organization. Danny is saying that it has it's a cost effective option, and on June 22nd, as part of the work group, it came out from FSEC that it was not a cost effective option. So which is it, folks? And until we know, I would say, you know, hold off on it. I've been privy to this whole discussion on a national level. I believe it would be appropriate within the entire application of the entire IECC, but with the difference in submitted information, we don't have a definitive answer.
Thank you. Rebuttal, Philip.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment to this first gentleman's comment. This is in the baseline home. This is not a requirement for all homes or any homes. It's just the home that is used to determine the energy budget. It has nothing to do with making R8 a requirement. Okay.
Okay. Bringing it to the TAC, do I have a second? I have a second. Steve?
This, I'll refer you to earlier comments made on this R8. It is not a readily available insulation the contractors can use, and it is affecting the clearance requirement needed in attic space. It is very costly to bring it in, but the net result is, because it's not readily available and no one's going to put it in, you're in essence raising the value of the rest of the calculation, because you cannot get the R8 and use it.
Jim, excuse me, Ann.
I'm just confused about these arguments we're going back and forth on here, and I'm trying to get this done quickly, too. But, you know, this is changing the baseline. This is changing the energy budget. This doesn't – we don't have a prescriptive requirement. This doesn't say, thou shalt do R8. R8 is what sets the energy budget. So all we're talking about here is changing the stringency of the baseline building. Are we for it or against it?
Ann?
Philip. Does the IECC baseline have an R8 in it on the duct?
Yes, by definition, it has an R8 in it. However, it's moot. And the reason I say this is because for the performance baseline, the combined effects of duct leakage and heat transfer are represented by something called a distribution system efficiency, which is 80% in the IECC, and it is also specified as 80% in 2367. And so in many respects, it's moot. And if you wanted to actually try to implement this in some way in Florida, you would really have to change that baseline distribution system efficiency.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Richard.
Again, I'm going to argue that the proponent is Ms. Brothers on the cost implications. I think Mr. Bassett and I think Bob alluded to the costs are rather dramatic. The stuff already costs 1.5 times as much, and on a 2,000 to 2,500 square foot house, it's about $1,500. So it's a non-trivial cost. It's not at all what it's been represented.
A further discussion? All those in favor, raise their hand, please. All those opposed? Thank you, show 1-7. And 2326.
I had proposed to revise Form 600B to line up precisely with the International Energy Conservation Code as one of four options. However, with the passage of Phillips 2367, he basically did the same thing. So this may be moot also.
Are you going to withdraw it?
Philip, your package had IECC down the line, right?
Yes. Yes, it did.
I can withdraw this.
With one exception, it did not have the 1.2 windows in South Florida, but you can't get a 1.2 U factor with a solar heat gain coefficient of 0.4.
That's incorrect.
It appears that the public does not want me to withdraw this one.
That's
not yet.
Yeah, I guess that's.
You're the proponent.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Okay.
I want to finish.
We've got 6 minutes, guys.
That's okay. Finish.
Okay.
You're done. Is there other proponents?
Why don't you just vote it down? Okay.
Second and vote it down, please.
My comment.
Second.
Is there anybody else from the public that wishes to speak?
Written comment. FHBA supports the vote.
Oops.
Second.
Is there? You don't wish to speak. You're waiting for something later. Thank you.
No, we're next.
They're the next one.
Next.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't want you to vote it down.
All right, to the TAC, there's a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of the motion, raise your hand. All those opposed, show it 3-5. No, it fails. All right, Mr. Wilhelm, 2450, please.
Boys, we're going to give you one more shot.
Mr. Chairman,
short and sweet.
This proposal is very similar to the previous proposal. The only difference is that it only addresses two climate zones, and the counties of Broward, Miami-Dade, and Monroe. You have a U factor of 0.75 and a solar heat gain coefficient of 0.4, and the rest of the state 1.2 and 0.40.
Any other proponents? Anybody speaking in opposition? To the TAC. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded. Is there a discussion? Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All those opposed, raise their hand, please. Show it 2-6, failing. Mr. Stone, 2613.
Yes, these are 2613. I'll take two of them at the same time, if you don't mind. Speed it along. 2613 and 2614 are both packages, and they're both efforts at doing this same thing that was done by Philip and done by Ann and done by Ivan and group. So what I'd suggest is, I'd ask is if you just simply second it and vote it down, vote both of them down, since you've got Phillips. But in case it fails, I'd like to be able to pursue it again.
In the, to the TAC.
Second.
I have a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of 2613, raise their hand. All those opposed, show it 08. This 2614.
Second.
I have a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by raising their hand. All those opposed, raise their hand. Thank you. Show it 08. And 2327.
I propose to give Jack his heart's desire on this one. He specifically asked me to reduce subchapter 6 so that we could include it in the residential code. I did add some criteria from subsection 1 into 1100-odd, whatever, to make it more of a standalone document.
Are we using 2327 or 2327 comment?
Comment 1, please.
Comment 1. Additional proponents, Jack.
In support, at the time of creation of the residential volume, we always envisioned it being a standalone document containing all of the necessary code for residential construction. This would be the final step in getting there. Everything else is in the residential code currently, with exception of electrical. Mechanical, plumbing, fuel, gas, this would complete it by also putting the energy code, relative portions of the energy code in the volume.
Then we'd have everything in one book.
Yes.
Second.
Thank you. Anybody speaking in opposition? To the TAC. There's a second. All those in favor? Any discussion?
Okay.
And?
Seems to me we need to probably do an amendment on this or a comment that whatever we ended up doing in subchapter 6, we do here as well.
We'd be in support of that as well. We want the most current energy
right,
code. We just want it in the residential volume.
I have an amendment to make it the most current using that language. Is there a motion to the motion for that? Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Is voting on the amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Thank you. Back to 2327, comment 1. No further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Thank you. Show it passing.
One more, Ann, quick.
2328,
Ann. Me too.
Support, there were, support brings the necessary definitions for the action you just took.
Yes.
Thank you, Jack.
If anybody wants to look at those and provide comments of you put too much in there, I would take that as a, please comment.
Any opposition to the TAC? Do I have a second? I have a second. All those, any discussion?
28 now?
Yeah, we are on the last one, 2328. Are all those in favor signify by saying aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Move adjournment.
I have a motion for adjournment. Is there a second?
Second.
We're out of here.
Mr.
Thank
Chairman.
You very much.
Wow.
We
ran over a minute and a half.
Not by my watch. 20 seconds.